Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. So they say you can't plan for the unexpected, but whoever said that obviously didn't know about Aflac. You probably know the Aflac Duck, but you might not know what Aflac can do for you. For example, did you know they pay cash that can help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover? If you get sick or injured, Aflac pays cash that can be put towards copays and deductibles to even non-medical expenses like rent or your mortgage payments. It's completely up to you. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit Aflac.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Baxter with Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. He's the Latin American research professor at the Strategic Studies Institute, discussing the Latin American problems that are non-transparent. One is Venezuela, certainly. And I want to turn to another, not slighting Venezuela, but there are many problems moving very quickly. And this looks like a positive story until you look deeper into the origins. The headline, this is from Nasdaq News. In other words, world markets. Argentina makes $1.9 billion payment to IMF amid race for a new deal. Early paragraphs. Buenos Aires, dateline within these last days. Argentina made a near $1.9 billion payment to the International Monetary Fund on Wednesday last. Two government sources said as the South American grains producer races to agree to a new deal with the lender to revamp it over $40 billion it still owes. The payment, part of a failed loan deal from 2018, was made with funds Argentina received from the IMF Special Drawing Rights Program, distributed in August. The quote, "Today the payment of the maturity was completed with the IMF, which will be reflected in the international reserves," said a source close to the central bank. Now, to pull all this apart from my amateur point of view, what I learned, Evan, is that Argentina routinely borrows money to pay back the debt load on previous borrowing. This is a new government, not the old government, but this agreement was made under the old government. What is the central problem in Argentina that a country rich in natural resources and educated people and a beautiful city in Buenos Aires, I'm told, cannot keep up with its debts to International Monetary Fund?
It's a great question, John. And it's interesting in talking with my Argentine friends, you find high levels of sophistication in business and in institutions in Argentina. But at the same time, you find frustration among Argentines, and there's a word in Spanish that the country is not a serious country. The frustration that performance of the Argentine government and its politics hasn't been up to what the Argentines would expect from themselves. Currently, you have a political crisis in Argentina, or I should say a move to the consolidation of the left, while at the same time it's trying to rethread this fiscal crisis. As you allude to, repeatedly during its history, you've had populist governments which have appealed to the labor movements in Argentina, which have, especially classically Juan Perón. But during those periods of populism, there would be lavish government spending far beyond its resources and then running into problems with the economic performance, as happened elsewhere in Latin America. You also have corruption and the misuse of the funds. But you had a major default on Argentina's accumulated enormous borrowing at the turn of the century. And that effectively locked Argentina out of credit markets for quite some time. Now, under the conservative government of Mauricio Macri, there was an attempt to get back in good with the International Monetary Fund and international creditors by agreeing to repay at least part of the old debt. And that actually was taken Argentina in a very positive direction, reintegrating it into the international system. However, the amount of debt that was reassumed actually became a problem when the Argentine economy ran into difficulties. So come forth to today and the return of the left of center government, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, behind the former president, Alberto Fernandez, saying that the previous policies were bad, and the current government's in a tight position because they previously were the ones who defaulted on the old debt. And they realized that if they default on the current debt, you can have a collapse in Argentina, with the federal and the state and in other levels. And so you have the ironic situation in which you have a leftist government who is accusing, the centrist portion of their own party of having played things too austere in fiscal matters, at the same time continuing to tolerate this their economy minister, who is doing these negotiations with the IMF, basically just trying to keep the country from disaster and being locked out of financial markets. And so it's a very delicate balance, and frankly I fear that it will not end well.
This is the debt portion of the Argentina story. There is also a personality a portion of it. I read from a report in the New York Times, and this is impossible to solve. Not only, Evan, do I not have the Spanish to understand it, but I don't have the depth of knowledge about these two warring political figures. President Alberto Fernandez on Monday, just passed, a week ago, replaced several ministers after a striking broadside by his vice president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, who blamed Fernandez, her president, for the bruising defeat their party took in primary elections this month. Now, my understanding was Kirchner chose Fernandez to be her president. She's been president before, and now this is part of her reorganization and comeback as a political actor. So now, at least according to this report, there's a spat between the powers. What's the basis of the spat?
It's a fascinating question, John. And as you allude to, back in 2015, when Mauricio Macri and his coalition was brought into power, actually getting rid of the Peronists for the first time in more than a generation, it was a sense that Cristina Fernandez had been too leftist, too corrupt, etc. But the problem was that Mauricio Macri, in trying to bring Argentina back into responsible fiscal policies, and reintegrate with the global economy, ran into a series of economic difficulties and was seen as really not being attentive to the suffering of ordinary Argentines. So when the Kirchners came back, it was interesting. Cristina herself was still had too high of negatives. And so basically she handpicked a person, a relatively weak politician, Alberto Fernandez. But the argument was this moderate politician who is, you know, acceptable, it's not the old Argentine Peronist left. It's really this new reformed moderate face that was more acceptable. And so in the light of the suffering of people with Macri, it was, okay, let's try this new reformed Argentine left. But the problem was that at the end of the day, Cristina and her part of the Frente para Todos really had the power, and little by little, Alberto has been edged out. And so, Argentina, again, with the COVID reforms and the difficulty on the health response, with the economic problems, with some of the attempts to navigate this IMF debt and austerity, there is a lot of unpopularity in Argentina of this coalition. But a lot of that has been focused on Alberto, ironically and not Cristina behind the scenes. And so ironically, what happens is that they're getting to a midterm election, and there is a primary that's famously known as El Paso. And in this primary, it's kind of an indicator of how things are going to go in the November midterms. The leftist party, Cristina Alberto, did very, very badly, about 10 percentage points worse than was expected. And so now the question is, whose fault is it? And essentially what happened is that a lot of Alberto-friendly cabinet members, some of the Cristina-friendly cabinet members submitted their resignations and were actually reinstated. And that was kind of an indication of saying, Cristina has got the upper hand now in this politics. Indeed, the only one arguably that was actually kept on was the person who's negotiating the IMF deal, their moderate economic minister, Martin Guzman. Their foreign minister, Felipe de Sola, actually found out that he had been sacked while he was on an international mission at the SALAC conference. So at the end of the day, this reassertion of a very pro-Kristina cabinet, including even the replacement with a relatively pro-Kristina press secretary, it's all kind of an indication of how the left and Kristina has taken advantage of this crisis in the party to get the upper hand. And that's certainly going to be the case now going forward into the November elections, and probably, if they don't lose too badly, going forward for the rest of their term.
My memory is that the Kirchners had connections to outside actors. Iran was mentioned. Others were also mentioned as dating back to the mass murder of Jews in the late 20th century at the senior center and the attack on other Israeli ministries. However, the puzzle here is, does Kirchner still enjoy the authority of outside actors, or is this a Argentina-dominated dispute based on, as I recall, the Peronistas are strong with the unions? Is it outside actors or is it the unions?
No, it's a great question, John. And the reality is probably a little bit of both. I mean, there are certainly some radical tendencies within Peronismo, you know, groups like La Campra, that strongly back, Kristina, indeed, you know, associated with her son. As you alluded to, you had strong evidence that, there was a complicity between, the Iranians, and, the prior Kirchner government, with respect to the 1992 IMA bombing and the 1994 bombing of the Israeli community center that Iran was implicated in. As you also pointed out, you had the implication of strong ties to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, and the famous suitcase scandal, where basically a suitcase full of money going from Venezuela to the Kirchners in Argentina was intercepted. So clearly there's evidence that there are these ties, and the concern and the suspicion is that these types of ties continue, although in the current context, the government has been, Kristina has been a little bit more low profile, with Alberto trying to maintain a more moderate face to Peronism. There have been a number of different judicial investigations into corruption that, again, not so much outside actors explicitly, but money involving outside actors, that there's been an attempt to use the political influence to suppress. But yeah, the concern is that as Kristina consolidates power, that all of the battled behaviors that we saw in the pre-2015 period, including frankly with the Russians, with whom they were previously negotiating an arms deal, with the Chinese, with whom multiple different deals are going forward full speed, including a $5 billion modernization of the Belgrano Cargas rail system and the construction of a nuclear reactor, hydroelectric facilities, and myriad of other things. And indeed, Argentine purchases of a new Chinese fighter, which actually appears in the Argentine national defense budget, to purchase that Chinese fighter, the FC-1, next year. And so multiple different actors of concern. There is at least worrisome indications that we'll see more of that as Kristina consolidates her power and moves forward.
Three states in Latin America dominated by controversy and non-transparency: Brazil, Argentina, and Venezuela. Now we go to a state in Central America, North America, Mexico. And it looks like the story we're about to tell is suggestive of Mark Twain's The Prince and the Pauper. Side by side, royalty and poverty. Professor Evan Ellis, a Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.